All right. Welcome, everybody. A joy to be here with you all worshiping God. So like Josh said, we're going to be taking just a one-week pause in our series through the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. And right now, it's actually kind of a good time to stop because what's happened is that for the first part of kind of what we've been through already, the story was kind of around Hannah, and then it was around Samuel, and then it's been around Saul. And the last couple of weeks, it's been about David, who is kind of the central character of the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. And we're at a point where he's been anointed to be the king over Israel as a replacement for Saul. And now, last week, we looked at his journey of kind of ascending. And his story is increasing. He's being recognized as this great warrior who's successful, and God's making him prosper because the Spirit of God is upon him, while God has departed Saul and has rejected Saul and is taking his kingdom away from him. But at this point in the story, it's an interesting thing because we meet David as a young man, and actually he is somebody who's been introduced as this person who can take down giants. And he's introduced as this great character, and he's obviously the messianic figure that the Bible is about. But at this point, when it looks like his story is going to turn good, actually he spends probably about 10 to 15 years fleeing, and his life is marked by hiding and escaping and fleeing from Saul. He's got this powerful enemy that is trying to kill him because he's jealous of him and is threatened about his kingdom. And so David is fleeing and hiding, and he ends up in the wilderness a lot. And you know what the thing is, though? This portion of the story is such a gift. I think when we think about stories that we like to have certain story arcs, and we don't like it when the superhero that we're introduced to ends up having just a very easy ride throughout the movie. We want to see them go through some troubles and see what happens. And certainly, in terms of the story of our lives, I doubt any of you has a life where it's like in the beginning, you came into existence, you came into being, and it's just been one directional ascent. Like everything has just improved in your life, and everything is successful and is prosperous. Actually, we find ourselves hiding and escaping and fleeing. We find ourselves with opponents, whether it's spiritual or it's human beings. There are times when we find ourselves in the wilderness where we're thirsty and we're dry. And so there's something about David and the heart that he has, the heart of God that he has, that allows him to be able to get through these difficult times. And we see how good God is in David's life, even when he's just surviving. And I wonder if for many of you in this particular season, in this particular year, you feel like, I am not thriving. I am not ascending. My life isn't just getting better and better and better. I'm just trying to make it day by day. I'm just trying to survive and get to the next season. And you know, for me, I feel like my season of difficulty regarding COVID and all of the crazy things that have happened this year, it's kind of passed a little bit. And I'm looking forward to the things that God has ahead. And I'm actually really excited about the things that God is doing, even just today. I'm coming back. I was able to go preach at a church in Hue Mei Sai. And we have this partnership with a pastor there. And there were four of us, an evangelist and three pastors. 2 years ago, we went and evangelized for the first time in Yafu. And the four of us had the privilege 2 years later of baptizing seven young people from that village. And we're just coming back from there. But you know, the thing is, I realize that it's not as easy as I thought when I first landed in Thailand. This idea about making disciples, evangelism, planting churches, it's actually much harder than I thought. And we have to address problems related to poverty and drug addiction and HIV and those types of things. And I'm just wondering, God, how am I going to do all of this? I love you, and I see all the good that you're doing, that you really are the truth, you really are the light. But there's so much to do. How am I supposed to do all this? And so finding myself in that kind of a place, I decided I was going to fast and I was going to get God to answer some questions for me. I said, Lord, there are so many different decisions that I have to make about what the future looks like for us and our church. And I'm willing to do everything, but I need you to tell me and give me some clear instructions. So I fasted for a couple of days, and then I went up to Doi Bo, the mountain. I went up to the Yafu village, near the Yafu village, and I spent a day there, an entire 24 hours up there praying. And so I started to pray, and I was distracted because there's a lot of noise. There's noise of chickens and dogs and pigs and bugs of all kinds. I'm just like, I can't focus. I need to be able to hear God because he's going to give me some clear instruction. I've been fasting, and he knows how much I'm desperate for his instructions. And you know, God actually did something that was very different than what I was expecting, but something that was really necessary. And actually, the things that he spoke to me about while I was away are things that he said, now I need you to go back and I need you to go tell the people there what I told you as well. And so that's part of the reason why we're taking a break in 1 and 2 Samuel. I think there's an important message that our God, your Father in heaven, wants to speak to each of you. Okay? And it was important enough that I'm going to say, okay, I had already prepared a sermon for Sunday, but I'm not going to preach that one. I'll preach that one next week because there's something very important that he wants to speak to you. And he wants to ask you a question. Every single one of you, he wants to ask you guys a question. What is your perfect day? If you could have a day, 24 hours, where everything happens the way that you would want it to turn out, what would that day look like? And as you guys think about that question, I'm going to pray that the Lord comes and highlights and gives you some feelings, some thoughts, and ideas about what that might be. So if you could just close your eyes. Spirit of God, we thank you that you are here. We thank you that when two or more are gathered in the name of our glorious Jesus Christ, he is there also through your Spirit, through you. And Lord, we thank you for the truth that's in Scripture, but we're not going to be able to understand. I'm not going to be able to speak it and communicate it unless you move, Lord. And so I ask that you would move in this place, in the hearts and minds of every single person, that you would give them understanding. And Lord, I ask that you would speak to them. You would speak to them that they would go away from here today changed because of what you want to do and what you want to say. And it's in your name, it's in Jesus' name that I pray these things. Amen. So what is your perfect day? I'm going to give you guys a little bit of time to think about it. If you could have just 24 hours where you could do whatever you wanted and everything will go exactly how you plan it, how would you spend your time? And you know, it used to be that when you would travel to places, and when I was a kid, I would travel once in a while with my parents, not as frequently as I do now. And actually, they don't do this anymore, but it used to be that when you went into a new country and you went to the immigration desk and they stamped your passport, they would ask you one question. Who knows what that question is? Some of the older people in this room might know. What's that, Andy? Bringing anything? Are you bringing anything? I think you and I went to different places maybe. No, but you know what they would used to ask, and I think James Bond used to have this thing, right? This question. But they would ask you, are you here for business or pleasure? How many of you guys have heard that question before? Are you here for business or pleasure? Because if you were going to go to a new place, if you were going to go to England, if you were going to go to France, you must be there. And if you're not from there, you're not going home, what is it that you would be doing there? You're either there for work or you're there for vacation. You're there for pleasure. And I would always get nervous. Sometimes I would go to places for business, but I'd be like, okay, but you're going to ask me potentially more questions. So I'm just going to say I'm here for pleasure, even when it wasn't. But you know, the thing is, when we approach our days, actually our days are filled with business or pleasure. Maybe both. And maybe a perfect day for you is having an equal split, 50% of just knocking it out of the park in terms of business, and then 50% just having an amazing time of having fun and enjoying and those types of things. So let me just describe for you what my perfect day would look like. And I'm going to describe what my perfect business day looks like, okay? My perfect business day looks like this. I wake up really early, maybe 4:30, 5 o'clock. And you know what? I know that I'm busy. I have a lot going on. I'm going to be productive today. But I know how important it is to be able to check off this box so I don't feel guilty all day, so that I need to pray. And so maybe I'll pray for half an hour. Maybe I'll read the Bible. I'll read 5 chapters because I remember if I read 5 chapters a day, I might be able to finish the Bible in a year's time. I might spend some time praying and worshiping. And then I got to get down to business. I got to do some legal work and try to make some money, and I'm going to do some excellent legal work and get good results on the things that I do. And then, you know what? Now my kids are up. I'm going to spend a little bit of time with them, let them know that they have a good dad. I love them. Maybe have a meal, have my coffee, which is very important. And then I'm going to spend the rest of the time doing the things that Pastor Dan does, trying to find projects to do, try to find villages that we might be able to go and evangelize, prepare sermons, prepare teachings. I might have a pastoral meeting with somebody. I might go and help my wife at our language school and maybe teach. And after a long day of being productive, I can come home, I can have a meal, I can sit down with my kids, I won't be on my phone, I'll look them in the eye, have conversations with them and my wife, and then I'll be able to go to bed, checking my emails, making sure that I'm on top of everything, and that I'm going to be able to wake up the next day and do it all the same, okay? So that's what a good business day looks like. How many of you guys can relate to some of that, okay? Now, how would I approach my perfect day if what I was focused on, look, it wasn't work time. It's the couple of days a year or the few weeks a year when I have some vacation time and I can just do whatever I want to have fun. What would I do? Well, you know what? I think I would probably pick a vacation place somewhere beautiful. And in here in Thailand, it's not that expensive to be able to go to some really amazing, exotic, tropical places. We get this nice little hotel by the beach. And, you know, we would just sleep in and we would wake up and we would have that amazing Asian hotel buffet breakfast and eat way too much. But hey, you know what? It's a part of the hotel price. So we got to get our money's worth out of it. We'd go to the pool and we'd hang out for a while, enjoy a nice lunch, go to the beach and just see the kids playing in the waves, get a little bit of sun. Not too much, because this context actually cares way too much about skin color. And then I would have a nice dinner date with my wife. We'd go somewhere fancy. Hey, we don't go to vacation often. Let me splurge a little bit. Maybe we'll get a steak. Maybe we'll get our favorite Chianti and have a glass or two. And then we'll go home, we'll go back to our room, we'll be able to just rest, turn on Netflix, watch a movie that we've been meaning to watch for a long time, and be able to go to bed and do it the next day. I mean, doesn't that sound great? Don't you guys, wouldn't you guys want a day like that? So maybe when you guys are thinking about your work life, you think something about kind of the way that I describe my perfect business day. When you're thinking about having fun or vacation or resting, you're thinking about something along the lines of what I describe for my pleasure day. Or maybe your life is just a perfect kind of mix of both, and you want to seek both in every single day of your life. So what is your perfect day like? And I have to tell you that when I went up to pray with God, I did not go up because it was a pleasure day. I fasted and I went up to spend time with God because it was a business week. And I needed God to do business things. I needed him to speak to me. And my prayer to him was, Lord, you know that I will do whatever you ask me to do. Just give me some clear marching orders and I will march. And, you know, it's really beautiful up there. The weather is improving. It's nice and cool. There weren't a lot of mosquitoes, no bugs. And, you know, I found myself actually praying and praying and praying and not really getting anything. And then the next day in the morning, I went up to this viewpoint, just amazing, sat under a tree where there was some shade. And I was just sitting there and I was just like, Lord, actually, I know I'm supposed to be praying, but it's just so beautiful here. I just want to enjoy this weather. I want to enjoy this shade. I want to enjoy this view. Can I just do that for a while? And right when I just committed to just resting and having fun and enjoying the scenery, God's like, where have you been? Because I remember there was a time in my life when it was before I was a missionary, before I was a pastor, when I was just a lawyer, the things that God stirred in my heart that allowed me able to come here and do the things that God is calling me to do. I enjoyed his presence so much. There would be times when I knew that I had this legal brief that I needed to do, but I was just so stuck in worshiping God. And I had been for the last 3 hours and I couldn't get out of it so that I could draw myself into being more productive. There was a time in my life when I remember just being in the presence of God, enjoying His creation, enjoying His company was the thing that was the most important for me. And there's a part of me that has become kind of all business and no pleasure. And we're going to do this thing today that I've done a couple of times during the series, where we're going to read the passage for today at the end. We're going to read it together. It's Psalm 84. And there is this thing, there's a line there that's a famous song as well, an old song. "Is better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere." We sing that song. "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere." One day in your presence, God, is better than a thousand perfect days that I might be able to conjure up in my mind. It's not just about, it's really fun to go to church. That's not what that song's about. Hey, going to church is important. You need to go to church and worship God for at least an hour on Sundays. That's not what that phrase is about in Psalm 84. "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere." You think about putting together a thousand perfect days, but actually a day spent in God's presence, a day spent just with Him, is better than all of that. The most perfect day that we can think of should pale in comparison. How many of you guys, when I asked you that question, how would you describe your perfect day? What is your perfect day? Would have said, actually, I would wake up in the morning, I would go somewhere where I can't be bothered, somewhere where I can connect with God and just spend 24 hours with Him. How many of you guys thought that? Andy, good job. It actually was an amazing kind of reminder that I got, and I feel like He wants to remind you guys of that as well. I had forgotten to take my pleasure and my joy in Him. He's my master, and I work hard, and I try my best, the things that He's asking me to do. And when I'm tired from all that work, then I will rest in the ways that I think will give me energy and give me life. But I had forgotten to think, hey, you know what? Actually, I need to just go to Him and find my source, find my satisfaction and my pleasure in Him. And John Piper has this saying. It's called Christian hedonism. And it means, and the line is, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Actually, there's something about the glory of God that He is glorified when we say everything else is not as important as you. I'm going to set those things aside, and to the degree you give me opportunity, I'm going to find myself in your presence, just enjoying who you are. I'm going to find my complete satisfaction in you. And once I've had my full of you, then I will go and do the things that you have asked me to do. He is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. And I just want to show you a picture. And, you know, I took a picture of the night sky the night that I went and slept. And, you know, I took a picture, but I have a really bad camera phone. And it's terrible. It's a Samsung. And I took a picture of the night, and it was just black. But, you know, actually, to get away a little bit from the city lights, you could see every single star almost in the sky. And it was just beautifully lit up, and you could see the moon. But I couldn't capture a picture of that. That was the beginning of just, oh my gosh, Lord, you are so big, you are so magnificent, your creation is so beautiful. And then this was in the morning, the first thing. Now, I was a little bit annoyed at all the chickens and the dogs fighting, but just woke up. This is right before the sunset, and you could just see this amazing view. And Chiang Rai has some of the most amazing skylines. The clouds here have such crisp definition. The skies are so blue. There's so much greenery all around. It's just a beautiful place. And then this next picture is the spot that I found where I was trying to be busy, just being a good worker, trying to get some good prayer in, where I just got lost in His beautiful creation, in His goodness, in His wonder. And actually, I upset some local residents, because these cows apparently love that spot as well. You know, like I was just realizing these cows are smarter than me. That's what they do. They come up here in the morning. They've had their fill, probably had their breakfast, and then they come up and just come into the shade, enjoy the wind, enjoy the tree, enjoy the scenery. And I took their spot. I parked my truck right there in that shade. And they were angry. The leader of the pack came up to me and was quite confused, but then they ended up going away and said, I'm sure this guy will move on. Human beings don't seem to enjoy this spot as much as we do. That's a great, great pun. Renee said, moved on. Yes, they certainly moved on. And I just remembered, I was just reminded of just what kind of a God we have. He's a Father that loves us. He delights in us. He's not in a hurry. He's not in a rush. He's got the work taken care of. He's going to do it. But he delights when his children come to him and say, Dad, I have nothing going on today. What are we up to? What can we do? Can we just chat? Can we just spend some time together? And kind of it felt like a scene out of one of my favorite movies. I'm embarrassed to say that one of my favorite movies is the movie Babe. It's about that extraordinary pig that works also as a great shepherding pig. And there's a scene in the movie where this pig is actually a great shepherding pig because he's polite and is able to talk to the animals and he's able to get them to do the things that Farmer Hoggett wants them to do. But he gets discouraged when he thinks, actually, this amazing farmer, the shepherd that I have, my master, who I think loves me and I love him, he's going to eat me someday. Or he's going to kill me. And he's just disheartened and he's actually physically distraught and in pain as well. And there's this beautiful scene where Farmer Hoggett actually nurses Babe the pig back to health. And this is an old movie, so I think I can give away the ending. Some of you guys maybe have seen it. But he takes the pig and he's just kind of feeding the pig some milk. And then lays the pig down and then starts to sing a song. And starts to dance to try to cheer his little pig up. And he sings this song. And I think I shared it probably a couple of months ago. And it goes, if I had words to make a day for you, I sing you a morning golden and new. I would make this day last for all time, give you a night deep in moonshine. What kind of a day would your Father in heaven make? It's not about what you want. But if your Father in heaven, your dad, your papa, could make a day for you, what would he do? What kind of a day would it be? Would he treat you like some oxen that he would load you up with a bunch of burdens so that he can work you to the ground? Would he actually be a neglectful father who would say, you know what, why don't you just go watch some Netflix? Why don't you just go eat some junk food? Why don't you just go play some video games? Waste some time. And you know, there is this verse in Revelation, actually. God is making a perfect day. He has a plan already. This is God's perfect day, and it's going to be the day that ends all days. Revelation 22:5, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. There's not going to be day and night anymore. There aren't going to be any new mornings. Actually, there's not going to be a sun anymore. We're not going to need a sun because Jesus himself will be our light, and we're going to have this amazing, eternal, endless day in his presence. And the reason why God wants that is because actually he remembers what it was like after he made us. After he made all of creation, and then he made us his children in his image. And he said, this is very good. And in Genesis, we read that God used to walk in the garden with us in the coolness of the day. He had his perfect day once. And we ruined it. We thought we didn't need him. And remembering that perfect day that he had with us and wanting to have it once again, he sent Jesus to come and live here on earth. And imagine what it might be like for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only begotten Son of our glorious God, who is in the very nature God, an exact representation of his nature, his radiance, the radiance of his glory, who had to set his glory aside that he might come and spend a couple thousand days here on earth. And if Jesus lived to about 33 years old, he probably lived around 12,000 days. Imagine setting the glory of heaven aside and spending those thousands of days here on earth. But it wasn't just that. It was that actually those days that he spent here on this earth were probably some of the worst days he's ever experienced. He never had to deal with sin and temptation and people hurling insults at him, people trying to kill him, people beating him and spitting on him and mocking him. And which is why every chance he got, he would go to some wilderness place, he would go to some alone place to be with his Father. And you know, if Jesus coming and living the life that we couldn't live wasn't enough, actually, it went completely dark for him. And he experienced the worst day that any human being has ever experienced in human history. That after suffering that death and spending three gruesome nights under the power of death, that he might be able to rise again, that he might be the first of many, that he might be able to prepare for us this one glorious day. And I just want to tell you, friends, if we are not living in the reality of that perfect day that is to come, what are we doing here on this earth? What are we sharing with people? Actually, we are the ones who are already citizens of that reality. And when we have opportunities to go and spend time, perfect days with our Father, just in his presence, basking in his glory, his goodness, enjoying the love that he has for us, the songs that he wants to sing over us, then we have enough to be able to go into this broken world and invite people who are living in darkness out of that darkness and into that glorious reality. And when we run low, we go back like Jesus did. We go back to that place where we can be with him, we can enjoy him. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be a child of God. That's what it means to be a servant of the Almighty. How do you guys spend your days? This is very important. God, your Father, told me to come and tell you this. He wants you to come. He's saying, where have you been? Don't you remember me? You remember how much you enjoy spending time with me. Come on, let's go have a fun day. And with that, let's go ahead and read Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise, Selah. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, our shield, O God, look on the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you lived for us, you died for us, and that you continue to work for us, and that you're preparing a place for us in heaven. We're going to be able to enjoy that perfect day for an endless eternity. And Lord, I just know how much you love every single soul in this room. You delight in them. You're pleased with them. You approve of them. You love them just the way that they are. You want them to be in your presence. You want them to be in your courts. You want them to come and sit on your lap and tug on your beard and look in your face. Enjoy all of the goodness of who you are. Lord, we are prone to wander. We are prone to forget. And I pray for every single one of my brothers and sisters that are here that have forgotten how enjoyable you are, how glorious your presence is. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would remind them once again and that you would invite them into that place of being able to find their perfect day in you. Better is one day in your presence than 1,000 other things that can distract us. Mold us and make us to be more like you. Would you lay a hold of us, grab us, draw us near to you, and then draw near to us. In Jesus' name.